Well, in the second half, David Fischoff is going to join us. He's the founder and the creator of Rock and Roll Fantasy Camps. Got some great stories and some good ideas. Jesse May Peluso is going to hang as well. We'll have some news coming up. We'll do all that right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Man, Mike from Seattle with an entry into your NFL players' name prefix redistribution. You know, where the brick shop Ferguson gives his duh to Todd Gurley to make him not sound like an accountant. We'll have a new one, and we're going to keep it in the family, so to speak. The Minnesota Vikings have a stud outside linebacker, Za'Darius Smith. I think the name Darius is enough to let you know we're not dealing with a place kicker. Let's have Za'Darius break off his zuh and give it to his brother from another mother, the now no longer confused as a Paisan quarterback for the Seahawks, Zichino Smith. Love the show. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, Geno Smith sounds like an Italian guy, but he's a black guy. It's a long bit. I won't get into it. But David Fischoff is here, the founder of Rock Camp and Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Or what are we calling it?
Well, we're calling it Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, but the movie just came out and a year ago, and it's called Rock Camp. So,
yeah, and this is something you dreamt of 25 years ago?
25 years ago, I was on tour with Ringo's All-Star Band that I created, and Joe Walsh and Levon Helm, I was at the fourth show, and people said, you can't put this together, all these amazing rock stars, and it's not going to work. It'll work for one night for a concert, but to go on tour, it's not going to work. And I was backstage at the Garden State Arts Center, and Nils Lofgren walks by me, and he says, Fischoff, I'm out of here. This all-star band thing's not going to work. And then turn around, there's Clarence Clemons, the late Clarence Clemons. It's the same thing. I'm out of here. And I had mortgaged my home in New York, so I saw my house going right down the river. And I said, oh, this thing's going to implode. And I went down to look for Ringo. I couldn't find him. And next thing I know, everyone said, you better go in the dressing room. I said, what's going on? He said, Joe Walsh and Levon Helm are having a major fight. And Levon's got a knife in his hand and blood, and Joe Walsh has a broken glass. Get in there. I go in there, the dressing room, and I start yelling at you guys, a bunch of babies. Can't you just get along? And they turned around. They pushed me. They threw blood on me. And then they both turned around and stuck their tongues out at me. And they joked me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They pulled a goof on me.
Wow.
And so from that, I said to myself, you know, these guys have fun. I should create a camp where people can come and hang out with these rock stars. And it was just so much fun on that first tour because they were just so themselves, and they were so relaxed, and they were not with their other bandmates, and it was just really a cool experience. So that's when I came up with the idea to do a rock and roll fantasy camp.
And who is your average customer?
I would say a 60-year-old guy and a girl, and who had a high school band and had to take couldn't take that risk and took a regular job, but deep inside, they're a musician, you know, they're feeling it. And I think Joe Perry said it best at camp, the last camp he was at. He's turned to a guy and he said, hey, what do you do for a living? The guy says, you know, I'm a lawyer. And then on weekends, I play guitar in my band. And he says, you're full of shit. He says, you're a guitarist first. He said, you do that legal bullshit to pay for your guitars. So that's who our customer is. You know, people have it in themselves. And also today, you know, during COVID, and you know, people picked up more guitars and drums, and they want to they just want to rock out. They've never played live on a gig. Mm-hmm. They've never been in a band, a lot of them. And they come there for 4 days, and, you know, next thing you're doing, you're playing live at the Whiskey A Go-Go or the Viper Room, and you're playing live, and you're recording a song, and we really put them through a boot camp.
Are there rules, like you got to write a song, or if you're hooked up with Roger Daltrey, can you do a Who song? Like, how?
There's no rules.
There's no
rock
rules.
Camp. Yeah, Homer Simpson told me that when he did The Simpsons. No rules, you know? And the only drugs we serve there is Viagra. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. It's no rules. Just
are they
fun.
Physically sleeping over at a place?
Yeah. They're coming for 4 days. They're staying at a Universal Hilton, or I'm going to Nashville tomorrow. We're doing a women's only camp with Winona Judd and Lizzie Hale. And it's for women only because I tried to do something like that last year and it was great. And
who have you tried to get who's been a douche?
Okay. It's a good question. Right. Well, you know, a lot of them that have turned me down, but most of them say yes. And David Crosby was probably the biggest douche I ever had. You know, he came and you know, he promised to jam with everybody. So I'll just look at them and examine them and, you know, see their songs and let them play my song and I'll critique them. But he was hard. He was hard.
You know, my thing about all those people, like, you know, I imagine Lenny Kravitz would be a douche, but he would just say no.
Right. You know what I mean? I'd rather them say no.
Right.
If they don't want to come,
what busts the shit out of me about celebrities is once you say yes, now you must fucking participate. You can't say yes, take the money and pout.
Right. So
or try to maintain whatever your artistic integrity or whatever. You took the money, now fucking eat it for 4 days.
Show up. And, you know, Slash, for example, he came. I asked him to come for 2-3 hours. He stayed for 12 hours. He jammed with every band. I mean, Nick Mason, there's no one richer than him from Pink Floyd. He stayed for 4 days, and he just had the greatest time. So, and they wrote an article about GQ. So those are the most amazing musicians, and those are the ones you want. You know, Jerry Cantrell, he'll sit and have lunch with everybody, and he gives them himself. But then, you know, when you get a – you know, I very rarely get one, but – Crosby was one. The late Peter Tork was tough, and he was a friend of mine
from the Monkees.
Yeah, Peter, he just couldn't deal with you know, people asking for an autograph or people wanting to take a picture with him. He just freaked out.
The fuck is so hard about taking pictures with people? I don't know what the fuck is wrong with everybody.
Exactly.
And then, like, we talk sort of the theme is enablers, you know what I mean? Because what these people do is they go, you know, you're sitting there, you're trying to enjoy lunch, and some hot chick wants to take a picture with you right in the middle of your Diablo sandwich, and the person across the table should go, fucking cry me a river, douche. That doesn't happen to roofers or guys who do siding or guys who drive trucks. This is a mitzvah. I don't know if we're ask USA Today, if I'm allowed to say mitzvah. Now, the point is...
Mitzvah's a good word.
Someone wants to take a fucking picture with you. Get the fuck over it. And the part where you're like, but you've interrupted my lunch. You know how many times I eat lunch and I see the fucking waiter walk by and I go, oh, hey, excuse me, can I get the fresh ground pepper on the Caesar salad? I just interrupted my own lunch, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeff Beck. You know, you get a guy like Jeff Beck, the late Jeff Beck.
Rest
we have to
soul.
Mention him because he rest his soul. He was a sweet guy, and he came did my camp, and I said to him, Jeff, I appreciate you doing this. This is amazing. And he said, you know, I just want to give back, and you know, this was a great way that I could give to other musicians. So I think that's what happens at camp. A guy like Roger Daltrey said, you know, it reminds him what it's like when he first started. So you have so many of those amazing musicians, and you know, rockers never could hang out with rockers. They were always running out the door, you know.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they're giving themselves. And so, you know, those are you love. And it really, it's life changing. That's the most incredible thing. These people get their chance to play with their heroes. And you know, so it's great. It's
so do you have to play an instrument or can people just go to the camp and hang and meet all these?
Well, I don't allow the hanging part. It's basically a vocalist or even a beginner guitar player or something like that. Because I want people that really want to get better in the music and want to do something.
What about a finger cymbalist?
Mm. Ooh, that's
found a loophole.
Yeah. Found a loophole.
Found a freaking loophole.
Okay, you can come.
I'm going to come in there with my finger cymbals.
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
I'm going to bring my hollowed out fish where I drag the pencil.
That's good.
We have a Venice Beach band.
That's right.
And our songs are all about microaggressions.
Yeah, that's right. I've seen you guys.
Yeah, that's what they used to do in the Partridge Family. They'd just take Tracy and tell her, stand over there, hold this tambourine, hold it away from the microphone, and just smack it against your thigh and pretend to sing.
Right. So, you know, we get those people too, but they eventually want to get into it. So
do they end up usually doing a song that is of the band that the person, you know, they do a Guns N' Roses song with Slash?
Totally. They do it. They did a Guns, yeah, they came, they do a song with Slash. Everyone does the song with the rock star, with Joe Perry, with, I got Stone Temple Pilots coming in the next camp. And yeah, everyone, you know, and you prepare. Once you start, sign up for camp, you start preparing 4 or 5 months in advance. Mm-hmm. And then your band now with Zoom, you know, where everyone's on Zoom in advance. So they are practicing and they perfect those songs. And, that's been the fun part. And then you go on stage to Whiskey Go Go with, you know, Kim Thayil from Soundgarden. Mm-hmm. He came to the last camp. I asked him to come for 2-3 hours. He stayed for 3 days. And he hung out with everybody in his room, and he was drinking with everyone. So I asked him if he'll come back in March. He said, yeah, I want to come back. I said, would you jam with each band a song at the Whiskey Go-Go? He says, yeah, of course. So you know, there are so many amazing musicians out there to choose from, and who really enjoy what we do.
And the crowd on show night is the friends and the family and that kind of stuff.
Friends, family, fans of the artists. And it's like it's the final four. The people screaming and yelling and just giving these people, you know, a lot of encouragement. And then they leave and they form bands. And then they leave and they start writing music and recording albums. So the results are really unbelievable.
Are people, have you experienced anyone who's had a terrible
terrible experience?
Yeah, well, just like the music is
three guys
bad.
Died.
Nah, you know what? They come in advance. They know what they're coming for.
Okay,
you know?
I would imagine the rock star helps.
No, you know what? The biggest problem is they're scared. They're scared shit, you know, so they're scared to come. So the wife, you know, calls up and a week before and says, oh, my husband has a business meeting and he can't make it, you know, or his mother has cancer, his brother has cancer. You know, everyone, they throw this big C word around, which is terrible. But I have to convince them off the ledge, come, especially when Jeff Beck was there. I had to convince people when they come, they love it. You know, they just, and then they keep coming back. So 50% of your campers come back because you take them to such a height. Such a high that they want that feeling again. Yeah. And so really, for me, it's so cool to change these people's lives and to get an email every day. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And, you know, the wife says, my husband doesn't have road rage anymore. You know, he's happy.
Because of you, we're not going to have any more doctors or lawyers. Everyone's rocking the fuck out. Yeah. We're going to be dying of disease because you're rock camp, damn it. Right.
Yeah, what about the guys who go all in on the lifestyle? Like, they come home, they start slamming heroin, they destroy their hotel room, they leave their wife.
No, I love the ones that say to me, you know, I got good news, I got bad news. A week later, I quit my job and I'm going to London School of Drumming. I said, no, don't quit your job. And so
we, by the way, are going to be in Dallas this weekend with John Popper, who you should get.
John's done my camp a bunch of times. He's great.
He has. Yeah. So he's going to be playing. I'll be doing stand up, and you can go to AdamCarolla.com for that, and he'll hang out and play and everything.
You know, last time he came to camp, he got friendly with a camper. The camper bought the house next door to him. Guy bought the house next door to him up in Seattle, and they're best friends today.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound friendly.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I was surprised.
Wow.
Guy says, I just bought Adam's the house next to
John's
Popper.
You don't want to live next door to John Popper.
No.
I'll tell you a few things. He shoots squirrels inside of his house. He showed me pictures.
Why are there so many that he's having to do that in the house?
I said squirrels, plural. I'd say he shoots squirrel. I don't know if he's done more than one.
Got it.
How different is he than Ted Nugent?
Ted's got a little firmer around the waistline, I would say, maybe politically and in terms of they like their guns, I'd say they're about the same
The same guys,
but here's the reason you don't want to live next to John Popper is because he has a Civil War cannon in front of his house, and he shoots cans of dog food out of it, which fit perfectly with the barreling of the diameter of the barrel, and evidently can shoot them a quarter mile or something. So you do not want
to
live next
dogs?
Door to that man. It turns out that a can of Alpo fits perfectly into the muzzle of the cannon.
It's a perfect cannonball substitute.
It's a perfect cannonball substitute, a meaty, savory, with little to no meat byproduct. And it just happens to fit. And it's probably at 89 cents a can, it's a savings over an actual cannonball. So if he wants to shoot something out of his cannon, he shoots dog food out of his cannon.
You say we shouldn't want to live next to John Popper because of that, but I've heard two reasons
why to move next door to him so far.
You may be right.
He must have a house on the other side of him, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
well, when the shit goes down, he'll be ready.
Yeah, when
you
the
run
apocalypse.
To his house. Yeah.
I'm going to Popper's apocalypse party.
So he's playing Blues Traveler songs and up there playing the harp and everything.
And he's just so great. He's so friendly to everybody. Just a great guy. Great guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He loves people, you know.
Well, you guys can find out this weekend. And also, I was talking to Mike August about doing a comedy fantasy camp, and you know, Mike's head on everything is someone has an idea and then he goes, how can I make $4? I got another idea.
Yeah.
But as he was saying it, comedy fantasy camp, that felt like a perfect fit for exactly what this is. The exact same template, but with comedians,
absolutely,
right?
First of all, I'm not a musician, so I get the feeling. I love doing the music camp because my brother was the drummer, and he was, you know, and I've been around music my entire life. But I starred in the Catskills. I booked Freddie Roman, Henny Youngman. I was booking all those Jeannie Reynolds, all those comics up there, and my life, I wanted to be a comic. So when Mike proposed to me, why don't we do I thought that was a great idea. We're going to do a comedy fantasy camp, and I think it's an awesome experience. We'll give the people the same thing. We'll give them stand up, we'll TV writing. Everybody wants a writing, and everyone has an idea in them. Everyone has a routine in them. You know, you do it professionally, but there's so many people who just have ideas, and I think we're going to be able to open up a lot of these people's hearts and souls, and really show, you know, give them the ability, because anyone can go to a stand-up club and stand up and you know, what's it called? The walk on every night. So
yeah.
If
so
it's a
open mic
camp.
Or walk on or open mic.
Open mic. And then, you know, it's a 3-minute routine. It's a 4-minute routine. That's a lot of stuff. And I just think that I think it'll be great to, you know, communicate it and do it in Vegas. And so I'm excited. We've been talking a lot about it, but we're ready to solidify it.
John Popper's going to do 4 minutes of stand-up before he does his music this weekend in Dallas, by the way, which he is committed to, with no harmonica.
Oh, wow.
Just stand-up.
We got to videotape that.
We do.
Yeah.
I bet you could get Cosby if it's a sleepaway camp.
I'll pass on that one.
Just saying he's back out on tour.
So. I know, the sleepaway, but, you know.
Is he out touring?
I read an article, but I don't know. The guy in the peacoat could have written it. It might be fake news. I have no idea. I'm just trying to get an opening set. That's all.
But there's a book on it. There's part of me that wants him to do it just for content for my bored brain.
He has an app on Apple.
He does? Oh, really?
There's a Cosby app.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it do?
Put your phone to sleep. Thank you. Everyone have a good day. No, I don't know. It's an app. It's just about him.
Is he 84 now? Like, does he have his eyesight? Like,
yeah, I heard he's blind.
I think he's got glaucoma.
Yeah. All right.
Amongst other things. But there's an app, which is just... And I looked at the copyright. It was 2019.
So he's 85 years young, Bill Cosby. And people, some of you who are younger, do not realize that he was not simply a famous comedian. He was America's father. Like, he literally... You know, you go, Eddie Murphy, Raw, that was super funny, or George Carlin, that guy, but they weren't America's father. He was America's father. He was the most trusted man in America.
Yeah. And the cleanest act.
How ironic. He also would berate, what's her name? Lenny Kravitz's wife. Why can't I remember her? She's so beautiful. She was one of the actors on Cosby Show.
Yes.
Bonet.
Lisa Bonet.
He would. I remember reading about how he would treat her and how she was living her life outside of the show. Like, she had to live a certain way because she represented the Cosby Show, so she needed to be a certain way.
Yeah. Pull your pants up. Get rid of those dreadlocks. Get rid of that nose earring.
Just crazy. But I think that has to do a lot with narcissism, maybe. You know, you're testing the waters. You're putting it all out there. You're portraying yourself a certain way, but you're also... because he had the jokes that were about Spanish Fly and everything. Like,
yeah,
I feel like he was putting it right in our face.
Yeah, we should have connected his Spanish Fly dots, but he did what all evil people do, which is they dance at the beginning of their show. And then later on, you find out they're evil. So that was Ellen and that was Cosby, because he did the dance. Do not trust dancers. Dancers, nobody... actually enjoys dancing.
At Jimmy Kimmel's parties.
Nobody. Dancing is you making people in the room think you're a certain way. Like, when you see a person dance, you go, that's kind of like cologne. I don't need it for myself. I need it for others. You know what I mean? It's a lot like the coexist bumper sticker on the douchebag with the Prius at the Whole Foods in Santa Monica. Is that really for them? Or do they think about this shit? Or they know what's going on in the Middle East? That's for you. Dancing is so people think you're free spirit and you're happy and you're joyful and somehow a little better and freer than they are. And it's always trying to convey something. Seinfeld didn't dance at the beginning of his show. He didn't need to convey that he was really this person, but in your mind, you know who you are. This is like John Wayne Gacy as a clown.
Yeah.
Such a, who was a clown?
John Wayne Gacy was a clown.
Yeah, okay. This is people thinking, this is who I am. In my head, overcompensate. I got a bunch of souls buried in the floorboards of my home. So if I see people dancing, I immediately have no trust in them. Now, if you want to do the break dancing on the cardboard box, I'll give you a pass as long as you have the bucket out there, you know, for change. That's a living. That's a calling. But Cosby dancing, don't trust it. Ellen dancing, don't trust it. And I think I've been vindicated completely.
I think so.
All right, no dance fantasy camp. That's it.
No, there'd be a bunch of sociopaths showing up. You would not want that.
No.
So you've had, over the years, I have no idea who Ringo Starr is as a human being. I have no, I just okay. don't know. I'd go, sounds like, he seems nice. That's all I got. I've never interviewed him. I don't, like, I hear, oh, he's a much better drummer than he's given credit for because he got painted into this. Oh, he's the Ringo Starr of, you know, of this group or that group or whatever. I do not know who he is.
Well, I had the honor to spend 15 years with him. I approached him in 89 to put an all-star band together around him. And he had just come out of rehab. But that's not why I approached him. I had this idea. I was packaging shows back then and did Dirty Dancing. Before that, I brought the Monkees back. I'd create packages. And I approached him and went over to England. And he said, I was thinking the same thing, you know. So and we put together an all-star band that first tour. And I had so much fun touring with him. And just because what I learned from him most is that he just wants to be in a band. And he loved to promote all the other artists. And it was just, that's what he wanted to do, is play in a band. Very giving to those musicians. I can't tell you how many musicians' lives he's changed just because, you know, he leads a clean life. And so that first tour, I think five of them went into rehab afterwards. And
wow.
And then they all cleaned up after the... He leads a great life. And his marriage to Barbara, you know, motivated me to get married again. I mean, I saw how much in love he was. And I figured you can have this kind of love. So I, as a person, he's a great human being. Great father. But it's hard, to be a Beatle. That's not an easy thing. You know, everybody wants a photo. Everyone wants to get you and get close to you. And you know, it was really trying to protect him as much as you could. But he loves to play with the band. And he's still going to go out now. I think he's doing the All-Star Band 32 years. So as a person, I give him a lot of credit. Does charity quietly.
Not anymore. You just ratted him out for his philanthropic endeavors. Thanks a lot, Pops.
No. But, you know, the
microaggression alert.
You know, the question
you outed him on charity.
The question about being the drummer, you know, everybody always says, you know, I think the Beatles, I think he added so much more to the Beatles because, you know, while if you have four people who are just playing hardest, I think he fit in. I mean, he fit so well in because it was all McCartney and Lennon, but he gave them the you know, so many songs he gets credit for just giving the right drum fills and everything like that. So I don't know if John Bonham could have fit well into the Beatles.
Right.
But Ringo felt, he fit in really great. And
or Keith Moon.
Yeah. Or Keith Moon, right.
It's a good example.
Yeah.
Rock Camp, an oral history, 25 years of rock and roll fantasy camp is the name of the book. It is out as we speak. David, you want to hang out? We'll take a break. We'll
sure.
do some news.
And my movie's on Amazon Prime free.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
Hand sanitizer never used, and you paid for it. Tuesday at 7 a.m.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
We're going to have to figure out some way to repurpose hand sanitizer, like to power machinery or factories or something, because there's an industrial squirt bottle of fucking hand sanitizer everywhere now, and people are sort of over it. But it's really just, it's gelatinized alcohol. Like, maybe we should be making weapons out of it, or Molotov cocktails, or give it to the military. We should be able to power factories and cars off it. It's just... there's been 10 million packets of hand sanitizer, the mini one, the keychain size one, the mega one, the medium one. They're everywhere. And I think people are sort of over it now. But now we have 200 million metric tons of hand sanitizer, which, by the way, doesn't do anything because you couldn't spread COVID by touch because we're all fucking superstitious, gypsy, native, crazy people. We're like, it, you know, it's not spread by touch. Yeah, I know, but wipe that down anyway. Like, okay, okay, crazy gypsy person. Fine. I don't use this shit. I never used it. It makes you weak. It fucks you up. It fucks up your system. It fucks up your immune system. The data is already coming in. It will continue to come in. You'll have many more hay fever and allergies and allergic and bad stomach. It's bad for you. But fine. Everyone's been calling me an asshole for 20 years for saying I don't use it. But we're going to need to do something with it. We need to harness it.
We used to go on planes and they would give you the hand sanitizer. Would you just take it and not use it, or did you let them know, no, I don't want it?
I realized quickly, because I was not a mask wearer. I was not a proper mask wearer. Like, the mask to me, I'm a deep mouth breather, could never figure it out, would fog up my glasses. It was sort of like when you put a party hat on your dog and the dog like kind of walks sideways, you know, like it doesn't necessarily claw it off. It just walks weird and it's like it kind of does something weird. That's what the mask was for me. Like, it bothered the fuck out of me. It bothered the fuck out of me that it was just theater for fucking retarded, scared pussies, and that I got sucked in and indoctrinated into a system that did nothing. So I would have a lot of difficulty with the mask. It was always down. It was never, there were issues. But I realized that if I dismissed and waved off in my super condescending way the stupid hand sanitizer, which did nothing as well, that they would hand you every 10 feet of the airport. Like, I'd go like, yeah, okay, save it for the kids or the special needs adults in the back who fucking don't know anything. That then got me on the list of people who needed to be watched.
It'd flag you.
It'd flag me in their head, like, oh, we got troublemaker here. I'm going to watch him with the mask. So I would, at a certain point, want to get off that list. I'd be like, oh, thank you. Maybe I could have another one. You know, and I would throw them on the floor. I would never use them, but I didn't want to get on their list of troublemakers.
See, maybe I'm different. I only really enjoy cleaning up someone else's funk on a plane. Mm. Not enjoy it. I just want to know that there's not as many remnants of a human being where I'm about to sit.
Mm, it's an instinct.
You know,
I get it.
Just the,
and a lot of stuff's on those planes. They tell you that, right?
Oh yeah, there's a lot. I mean, Nicole Byer said that she found excrement in a blanket. She told that story on Conan O'Brien. Yeah. She took out one of those blankets and there was poop in it. I don't know that
hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer's not going
to
help that. So we need pooper scoopers and hand sanitizers.
Yeah, I made my peace with that stuff a million years ago.
It's probably smart.
I grew up in filth, so I just got used to filth.
That's a great opening line for your memoir.
Yes, I grew up in filth.
Yeah.
I got used to it. I never got weird about I peed in the sink oftentimes. I never wiped anything down. I worked construction. Construction's a messy, dirty, shitty job. You shit in a porta potty all day. You know, there's gunk on you all the time. I just got over it early.
We just got a dog, and I finally had to, you know, my daughter just begged me for a dog. And I'll tell you, that's like living in, you know, in poop land, you know.
Yes.
So it's interesting. The house is so perfect and clean, and now it's like, okay, who cares? You know, bones everywhere.
Puppy especially, so it's a fucking shit show. Yes.
That's what it is, yeah.
Literally. All right, Max, what are we talking about
here? Well, today, as we record this, is Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, that's
Day.
Right.
Yeah, this is actually a national holiday. Well, over the weekend,
you know, we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go.
Yes.
Now, I would like to be put in formaldehyde and then reanimated 5,000 years from now so I could hear douchebag make the speech in 7,029. We've come a long way, but there's a long way to go. That's the message I get every year.
Well, hopefully this will help. Mm. In Boston, they unveiled a new monument that, I don't know if you've seen this.
Always helps. The two things that help races the most is monuments and naming streets after them.
Yeah.
That fixes problems. Family education, blah, 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 blah. But street, switching the name of a street and building a monument.
Yeah.
I know.
So we're on the right path.
That's super effective.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this was unveiled on Friday on Boston Common. 20 feet tall, 40 feet wide. It's called The Embrace.
Mm.
And it was inspired by a photograph of King and Coretta Scott King, which captured them hugging after he won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. So you can see it's just the arms.
Yeah.
It's just floating arms that are embracing each other. The angle, what it looks all right, but obviously it is a source of plenty of mockery online because it looks weird from other angles. Yeah, if you could, you guys can scroll through the other angles too, but it's just like, yeah, it was unveiled. It just looks unusual. Like, that looks like a knee. People say, like, from this angle, it looks phallic.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Say. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is the big monument that they released. But so the designer is Hank Willis Thomas.
Mm.
And you know some of his work, at least one other piece of his work, Adam.
Mm.
And it's the AfroPic statue.
Yeah.
That we've talked about on this show.
Sort of offensive.
Yeah.
Where they,
or the monument, the AfroPic monument.
Pulled some Civil War general down and put a giant sized pick up there. Problem solved once again.
Do we know how much it cost to create the hugging one? Like, is there any.
Do you know how many after-school programs we could have started with that money? But bizarre, inane statues save so many lives and help so many communities of color. So, it's a, you know, are you willing to risk it? Some after-school basketball program for inner-city kids versus a big brown cock swinging in the wind and a hand gently caressing it? You willing to risk that? Because that's going to set the culture back.
Yeah,
you need those symbols.
I'm seeing
super important.
I'm seeing a report that this monument cost about $10 million.
Oh, I mean, come on, what? It looks like someone's stretching before a Cirque du Soleil show.
Yes,
I
that's
mean,
what
give
I
me
saw.
A fucking break. I yeah. just it's just
can
powerful.
Can I say this? The conceptual. All right, let's put it to you this way. Let's give a thought experiment. Jesse May, they are going to build a monument to you and your mirth. In the where are you hail from?
Syracuse, New York.
In Syracuse, right outside the Orangemen College. There, they're gonna. There's a graveyard next to that place. I've walked through it with Dr. Drew. All right, they're going to build a monument to you. Wouldn't you, let's just say you're gone, it's been 70 years, wouldn't you like it to look like you? Like, so that people went by and went, oh, that's Jesse Mays. Yeah, she's funny. Like, we could recognize you. You know what I mean? This is just hands bent in a pretzel. You'd have to come up and kind of look at the plaque sort of thing. I'm just saying, if you are doing a monument to me, I want me standing on a Zamboni or a horse that's pulled back or riding a jet ski or something. Like
a Segway.
A Segway. Like, I want me in action. You know what I mean? Or me on stage with a microphone and slaying the audience. You know, like they, like when they do Michael Jordan statues, he's dunking a basketball. It's not some bizarre
Rocky.
It's them, like, shouldn't he be in front of a mic or holding a Bible
or something?
A podium? Like,
marching.
Why does everything need to be abstract? Why do I have to guess everything?
I think, to me, what this rings is very self. It's very egregious, and it's also self-congratulatory.
It becomes more about the sculptor,
about the artist,
right?
Yes. Because then you have to go, what is it? Well,
let me explain.
Let me tell you what my idea was. But if, you know, honestly, as you were speaking, like, if someone did a monument dedicated to me, I would just want like a couple meatballs. To be honest, I just love meatballs and maybe a loaf of bread.
But no,
strategically
likeness?
Placed. No, I don't need it.
I'll put them in the right place.
Yeah,
I know.
We know.
Everybody knows. That'd be more fun, I think.
But people passing by won't know about your comedic genius.
They'll have no idea. It's just this is insane. I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Well, you have to look at different angles, you know.
Yeah, 360 experience. Right.
By the way, when people are explaining what art means because you can't tell, we're done. We're done already. Could be a painting, could be a sculpture. This represents the struggle. I don't know what the fuck it is. If you're explaining to me what it is, it's over.
It's not a good campaign for funding art in school. I'll tell you that much.
No.
But we should. To be clear, we should be funding art and music.
Do Coretta Scott King and Martin Luther King and just do them.
Yeah.
And put them up there.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's their own statue.
That's the monument. That's how it works.
Or make their full bodies hugging.
That's right.
There you go.
Recognizable.
Yeah. Please. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we never talked about this, and this is a story that's been going around since last week.
Hold on. How long before somebody goes Jussie Smollett on this thing?
Oh.
Somebody's going to like spray paint a noose or a swastika or something. Mm. It'll probably be bullshit, but everyone will go nuts, right?
It'll probably be the artist.
Somebody, yes, yes. Somebody's going to do something, and then we're going to go batshit crazy.
We'll be rioting.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then it'll turn out that it wasn't Ted Nugent. Sorry.
Right. And it'll make people want to go see it.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. It's a part of history after that. So in Tennessee, a small Tennessee police station, it's made national news because it's been rocked by allegations of wild sexual misconduct. There is an officer, a female officer there, who has since been fired, but she has had steamy romps with six male officers, including illicit on-duty acts. And according to reports, Officer Megan Hall and her law officers engage in wild sex capades, dirty pictures. There's a Girls Gone Wild hot tub party, oral sex with two officers at the station while on duty. And all these officers are like, yeah, it happened. She's married. She said she's in an open marriage.
It is now.
Yeah, by default.
You
got to
say that, right?
Yeah.
By default.
This doesn't happen at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp even. You know, it happens at the police precinct.
Right, yeah. This is the most rock and roll thing
this
here.
This is the new campaign, Defuck the Police.
Yeah, so these cops are like, yeah, we had sex with her on numerous occasions. They accused her of, she'd brag about it at work. Mm. And so her husband... So this has been all over the news. She's become a meme, right? Like she's getting railroaded by all of her coworkers. Mm-hmm. Her husband, there he is. He's like, I didn't know we had an open marriage.
Oh, yeah, see?
His went out. And two, but I'm going to stay with her.
Oh, and
see
okay.
This thing through.
Well, now I figured out what we can do with that Purell. Just dip her in it. My whole thing is if you can hold your breath for 10 minutes under in this 55-gallon drum of Purell.
Yeah.
Then if you emerge, we shall continue this relationship. If you cannot hold your breath in this vat of Purell, and I'm going to heat it up, too.
You need the heat.
I need boiling Purell because I got to wipe this out of you.
It should be a float tank filled with Purell so she could think about why
go in
she
there,
wanted to do this to herself.
Microdose and get in this sleep, this deprivation tank of Purell and just float. It's probably you'd be more buoyant than salt water.
Oh, for sure.
And just float in there and de-germ yourself. And I'll put a little Enya in ya on ya. And you just think about what you've done to this relationship.
And what you've done to the police department.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so four cops were fired, two were suspended.
The guy So, like, the blowjob guys got to keep their job.
I think
the
they
sex
got fired.
Guys got fired.
Or, yeah, I don't know the stipulation of why some were suspended and why were fired, but maybe it depends what base you
were
hit.
They suspended from work or from the sex wing in the back office?
it could be both. Yeah, I'm sure
the husband looks like the author of the USA article about whether
sure
we're allowed
does.
To throw say some, mahalo.
Throw some Harry Potter glasses on him.
That's right. Oh boy. Well who really suffers now?
The parents of those two people.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. The problem is we need – the problem with cops when they go rogue, and I've said this with everybody, we only have pictures of them when they get the citation from the mayor. They're smiling and they're holding a plaque, but the guy's accused of going on a murderous rampage or killing teenage prostitutes or going balls deep in a coworker. But he's got man of the year and a plaque with the mayor's his arm around him and he's all smiles. We need a in case you fuck up picture too. Like I'm not saying you're going rogue, but there are a lot of bad cops and shit can happen. And if you shoot some black teen in the back and then plant a gun or something, I don't want the all smiles with the accommodation shot. I need a, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's just get the I made a mistake shot.
First day, just get him out of the way.
Same as plaque day.
Yeah, yeah, plaque day, just go, okay, give me the plaque. All right, now look like you've made a mistake. All right, here we go. Yeah, that's the look. I go, fuck. And then when the shit goes down, if the shit goes down, we will use the I made a mistake picture, not the holding the key to the city.
That's a solid point.
You need it. It's important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put it on file. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that should be the new protocol moving forward. Did anybody here watch the Critics' Choice Awards over the weekend? Trick question. No, you didn't.
No.
Nobody watched it. It was on the CW. It was during, wild card playoff weekend and all that too.
Yeah.
So, I don't think really that many people watch it. But it did have a lot of big celebrities there. Chelsea Handler hosted it. Mm-hmm. And it looked like a fun award show. Brendan Fraser he actually showed up to this one.
Mm.
And he's making his comeback tour. He won Best Actor. And here, let's watch his speech because everybody's been tweeting this. It's a very motivational speech. And they're loving it. They love Brendan Fraser. He's back.
Mm.
I was in the wilderness and I probably should have left a trail of breadcrumbs. So, but you found me. And like all the best directors, you merely just showed me where to go to get to where I needed to be.
Well, he could write for Kamala Harris. Yeah.
If you,
he's being played off,
like a guy like Charlie, who I played in this movie, in any way struggle with obesity, or you just feel like you're in a dark sea, I want you to know that if you too can have the strength to just get to your feet and go to the light, good things will happen.
Yeah, people are outstanding.
The music is supposed to be playing him off, but it sounds...
It's enhancing.
Yeah,
enhancing.
I don't think he realized they were playing him off. He's like, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is becoming a moment.
I don't know, Dawson, now you have to find some ranchera music because we can't have the tinklings of the ivories or the inspirational thing, because if the music sounds inspirational and they're like, my father was my best friend and he passed 10 years ago, but he told me at his bedside, he held my hand and he said, son, and they're playing the...
Back in black!
You're playing inspirational music. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Let's see how it would... I don't know. We'll figure it out. But if you put ranchera music over this, first off, no one would be able to take it. It's time to wrap up. Those people cannot. The human ear cannot listen to that for more than 30 seconds before you have an aneurysm. So people in the audience would be begging him to wrap it up to make it stop. Number one, and then number two, it can inspire nothing and be mistaken for nothing except for drinking stories.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, I ate the worm. Thank you. Good night. Like, that's all. His music was looked like somebody scored it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looked like he told them to play it at a specific part in his,
right.
Yeah, he cued
in his
it.
Speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'll
continue to filibuster, my computer crashed, but I get where you're going, and we got this.
Yeah, we'll like at the Golden Globes, they did the soft jazz, and nobody cared at all. Like the jazz piano.
It's what you would pump into a commercial if you were doing a commercial and it was showing a man and a woman on the first date, and it was like, it's only lunch. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't do it dry. You'd have the playing of the piano. And you don't do anything dry. Like, you don't notice it, but TV commercials for prescription drugs, and everything's got something going on, every TV show, every movie. So when it shows up, your mind doesn't do anything with it other than go, oh, it's part of the scene
that
I'm watching right here.
Yeah, trying to drive your emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, getting back to an earlier theme, when did everyone get so fucked up? Like, when's everyone such a mess? The guy was Tarzan. Like, give it a break, you know? Like, I was in a dark space and somebody believed in me. Like, I know you weren't. You're a good looking dude. You've had a decent career. You got laid.
You got enough money.
You got enough money.
I just gave up.
I haven't seen The Whale, but I wonder if all of this comeback and all the stuff that's happening off screen is helping him win these awards.
I'll tell you my wish, and I do it every time. I think it happened. Now, I'll try to figure it out because we've discussed this before. Queen Latifah got great notices for Cabaret or Paris Nights or whatever. Queen Latifah did a musical. It got great notices for a musical. But in the can was the movie Taxi with Jimmy Fallon, which was a total unmitigated piece of comedy shit that made no sense at all. And then there was Monique, who got great notices for, babe, what the fuck with the Precious. She had Precious. But she also had like Soul Plane 3 or something like ready to come out before. I hope he has Guitarzan 2 like in the can. And the next movie that gets released after he gets the Oscars, the shitty B movie, bad farcical junk that we'd known to love him for. That's what I'm hoping for.
And then he goes back home and needs to leave breadcrumbs again.
That's right.
Actually, he will leave breadcrumbs this time.
Pretty carby for a fat guy.
Yeah, and I said breadcrumbs.
But you said breadcrumbs. Where's your mind at?
That's a different food.
Yeah.
So sorry.
No. Well, yeah. While they're pulling that up, also Chelsea Handler, I have some of her monologue jokes. Some of Gerard's monologue from the Golden Globes, and he did a much different style. And we were like, oh, just go back to the roasty jokes. You're just making fun of everybody there. So here's some of Chelsea's jokes. We'll watch one of those. Or not, but I'll tell you. So she...
We're firing up the computer.
Oh, it's okay. But her goal, and she told this to the Hollywood Reporters, it's not going to be taking the piss out of people and embarrassing them. That's what stand-up's for. That's what your personal Instagram is for, if you're into that. It's not about making anyone feel uncomfortable, especially for me, since everybody's expecting me to make people feel uncomfortable. So, yeah, she wasn't really necessarily like Ricky Gervais mean, but she was she definitely got in some shots. She talked about like the Don't Worry Darling press tour and things, and made a crack at James Corden and things like that. So
She said it wasn't meant to make people uncomfortable.
No,
I call bullshit. I call bullshit. What else? That's exactly what comedy is, or I think at least it should be. And I'm not acting like I know anything. I feel like I'm young in my own career and I haven't accomplished nearly as much as you have, but I feel like it should be uncomfortable.
She pointed at me.
I did.
Just so people know, listening at home.
Should be uncomfortable. Yeah.
We'll get those clips in a little bit too. They're transferring over.
I agree.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can find Ranchero.
But you're right. Ranchero music.
I want it. You want to get people to leave the room? Fire up. You want to get Whitey to flee? You want Whitey to wrap it up? Ranchero music.
Legend has it he's still giving the speech.
That's right. Because it was so perfect. Oh, we'll see if we can do it. The inspirational music just added to the milieu of the whole thing. All right, let's see.
I was in the wilderness, and I probably should have left a trail of breadcrumbs. So,
yeah.
But you found me, and like all the best directors... You merely just showed me where to go.
Get the fuck off stage, whatever that piece of shit the cow was.
Whoa, go back in the woods.
Hey, can someone give me a Tecate?
Eat a sandwich.
If you, like a guy like Charlie, who I played in this movie, in any way, struggle with obesity.
Yeah, I don't like this anymore. I don't like this speech anymore.
You're in a dark sea.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All you need was a little more head on it, but that was funny.
I don't want to see that movie.
You're right.
Get this guy off the stage. He's ruining my evening.
Bring us Tarzan. Mm-hmm. Tarzan or nothing.
The default should just be Ranchero music. That's it.
Or shut the mic like they used to in the old days.
Yeah, they just shut it off. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up, Max Bell.
All right. Check out the Water Cooler Podcast, please.
All right. I know everyone always thinks I'm kidding about everything, but first off, if you did Ranchero music, the audience would look forward to it. It'd be funny.
It would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious. It'd kind of become like Night at the Apollo with the Sandman.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
a drinking game at home.
Yeah, like the guy's fucking up the song and he comes out there with the broom, you know. You'd kind of hope some blowhardy celebrity went long.
You never know when it's going to come.
Yeah.
They mess the with gong it a little
show.
Bit.
That's right.
Exactly. The gong show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there'd be prop bets like Jodie Foster 3-1 for ranchera music. You know, she wins.
Oh.
Right? You'd have to pick blowhardy celebrities. Susan Sarandon may be an odds-on favorite. Like, she's even money for the ranchera music if she wins the thing. If she wins the statue for the lesbian nun movie, Vegas says it's a coin toss whether we get the ranchera music or not.
This will certainly be a fun pitch for you to pitch Jimmy for the Oscars then.
Oh, yeah. Write that down.
Yeah, that's good.
From your mouth to God's ears. All right, you can go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. We'll see you this weekend in Dallas with John Popper doing our own kind of rock and roll fantasy camp. Speaking of that, Rock Camp, an oral history, 25 years of rock and roll fantasy, David Fischoff. And check out the movie Rock Camp as well. Netflix.
Amazon Prime.
I am sorry, Jessime Peluso. Sharp Tongue's the name of the pod. There's live dates coming up. Omaha Funny Bone, February 3rd and the 4th. Comedy Store in La Jolla, California, Valentine's Day. So get your honey bunny and head out there. And you can go to jessimay.com for all the live shows and where she's going to be. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Jessime Peluso, David Fischoff, Max Pata. Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's latest book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your ticket to see Adam Carolla at adamcarolla.com.